The spiritual theme of the month is living faith. One important Latin root for the word faith is credo. Credo has two elements. But in our public discourse, I think that we usually just talk about one of them. Faith involves what one believes in. Do you believe in God? I think that this is the most common assumption of a definition in public. If somebody says, do you have faith? Many times I think they're asking, do you believe in God? But we Unitarian Universalists have a much more broad and varied understanding of religious belief. We expand our meaning to include various things, but including, do you believe in the power of love or peace or hope? But we also include this second aspect of faith, which I think gets less attention and should get more. Faith involves commitment. What are you committed to doing in the living of your life? This, I think, is where a lot of the Unitarian Universalist principles and purposes play out in our faith tradition. The fifth principle involves democracy. So I don't think we're saying so much you believe that democracy exists everywhere. Someone else would say God believes, that someone else believes God exists everywhere. But you believe in the importance of being committed to acting towards democracy taking shape wherever possible. So we commit ourselves as a community of faith to creating communities where democracy, justice, equity, compassion, and peace are bolstered as much as possible. We're among the folks in the world's religious traditions who believe faith without works is dead. We commit to living our faith. Today, we specifically focus on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest spiritual leaders in the history of our nation and the world. And I want to pause to just help us all be mindful of the fact that this is a big deal. I think the fact that we do this every year could numb us a little bit and have us just on cruise control at the end of the holidays. Dr. King was a giant who walked these streets of Philadelphia, preached in this pulpit, shook the foundations. This was a bold, courageous, prophetic leader. I think he spoke here in 61. Guarantee you all of his ideas in those times were not in sync with the leaders of this church. He was freaking some people out. And he was as courageous as you could possibly be in doing it, and thank God that he lived and followed his heart and his dreams. So I just want to recall us to the fact that we do this every year for a reason, and it's really important for us as this congregation and Americans. Today I'm going to ask, how did Dr. King live out his faith and embolden others to live out theirs? Personally, I can share that there are many days when I am aware of significant gaps between my values of being a justice-making, constructive citizen of the planet and how I act. Two examples for me include the fact that I know I make too big of a carbon footprint and that I participate in food systems that are unethical in the treatment of animals. There are many days on a more personal level when I am aware of a gap between my values of being a compassionate, helpful person and my interactions with family, friends, neighbors, and you, the folks of the congregation. Dr. Martin Luther King is a great inspiration to me in my efforts to close the gap and get a little closer to living out my values on the macro and micro levels. His theology, ministry, and life are there as guideposts for all of us trying to close the gap between our moral values that sometimes seem lost and how we live. We acknowledge and accept the fact that we are imperfect people. A lot of us, that's part of our struggles, and we need to help ourselves to not be harsh when we fall short. But we're not talking about achieving perfection here today. We're talking about how we can maximize our potential of living good, positive lives. And Dr. King did have high standards for us. He believed in a robust, universalizing faith. He said an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. He also said every person must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. This is the judgment. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Tomorrow we engage in service with folks from around the region in what is the biggest Dr. King Day of Service program in the United States. Philadelphia leads the way with pride and love. This is a great way to counter your winter blues. If you're feeling down, come on out. Guaranteed you will get a lift. This place will have approximately 400 people. It will be abuzz with excitement. Come on out and get a taste and help us make an impact on the broader community. We know that living out our faith is also not a one-day-a-year activity. So, with King as a beacon, this weekend helps us to do good work, do advocacy at the state and national level on issues that matter, build strategic partnerships, strengthen our body, minds, and souls for faithful living throughout the year. All of this helps us to close the gap so that families of former slaves and families of former slave owners can sit down at the table of brother and sisterhood. All of this helps us to close the gap and fulfill the dream that all of our children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by content of their character. When you live out moral values with regular mindfulness, it can be exciting and rewarding. But living out your faith also requires you to stand strong when it is uncomfortable, inconvenient, challenging, and controversial. Dr. King made massive sacrifices, including being away from family and friends on physically long road trips. He suffered beatings, jail time, ultimately assassination. But his challenges did not only come from these pains imposed by white folks. Right now, I'm reading a great book on King by Michael Eric Dyson, I May Not Get There With You, where he goes into detail talking about how Dr. King and his Ebenezer Church in Atlanta were members of the National Baptist Convention. Due to King's prophetic theology, he had an intense conflict with the president of the 5-million-member convention, Reverend Joseph H. Jackson. King's feelings must have been hurt not only when President Reverend Jackson called King a hoodlum and a powder keg theologian, but also when King's colleagues and friends either agreed with Reverend Jackson explicitly or tacitly supported his remarks with their silence. There were days when he walked through hallways of convention centers saying hello to colleagues and old friends who would turn away and give him the silent treatment. Eventually, King, along with a great leader, Gardner Taylor and others, broke away from that convention and began their own National Progressive Baptist Convention. We are called, whatever the context, to live out moral values when it is rewarding and when it is controversial and tough. How do we do that? I think that we want to be prophetic. We want to be out there in our city, in our state, in the world. But these are lofty concepts. So we need daily focus and to not make this as complicated as physics or nuclear physics or whatever King said. We got to keep it simple. So here's the spiritual exercise of the month, which is offered in our small group program for Living Faith this month. King was friends and colleagues with Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. King nominated Thich Nhat Hanh for the Nobel Peace Prize. And Hanh teaches that if you want to grow a tree, it won't help to water the leaves. You have to water the roots. So for the exercise, reflect on which roots, beliefs, and actions in your life are you watering? Which ones are you paying attention to? Which one are you giving time to? Look at the garden of your faith, your beliefs, and your actions in appreciative inquiry. Don't be harsh on yourself, but write down the positive actions you are engaged in with some regularity that bring important values to life, including being a kind person. Can you commit to watering one more, just one more, on this month in honor of Dr. King and trying to live out your faith? This is an exercise for living our faith. Living faith is when you could be driving alone to work, but you don't, and you carpool with workers or take the bus in order to help Mother Earth. Living faith is buying free-range meats in order to provide some improvements in the ethical treatment of animals. Living faith is speaking up whenever and wherever you hear somebody tell a racist or homophobic joke or make a comment that is racist or homophobic. Living faith is when you get in a battle with your neighbor. She won't cut her long tree branches, which are scraping up on your windows, and then you insist on putting out the trash on your curb earlier than everybody else on the block, even though you know it drives her crazy, and on and on and on. And then you decide to change it, the dynamics, and start showing unconditional respect, no matter what, from this moment on. Living faith is being a parent of a teenage daughter who is showing disrespect to you and others on a regular basis, but you decide you're not going to overreact with anger, but show her respect as you explain limits. Living faith is going to visit your very sick friend, even when his condition reminds you that everyone, including you, will die. Living faith is when you sense something is wrong with a child you know. Something's just not right there. And you trust your gut and you talk with a teacher or a social worker or a minister, and together you appropriately investigate and make sure that that child never suffers abuse again. Stepping out, if you think in your gut something might be wrong and a child's getting abused, odds are, they say, it's happening. Step out on faith and find a way, because it's always unacceptable. Always. Living faith is sitting quietly on your rug of your living room after you turn off the phone and the TV to turn off the noise and listen to your breath. Connect with the holy. Living faith is dancing at the feet of the Lord with all your might, even when you have troubles and problems, but celebrating the good that does exist. King said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. You have to take the first step even when you don't know what others will do or say. Hey man, can't we just joke around once in a while? Don't you have a sense of humor? No, I don't have a sense of humor about that. And not worrying about what they're going to think because you're living out a moral imperative. You have to take the first step even when you don't know if you yourself can do it. I can only sit for 30 seconds in silence. I can't do 5 minutes, let alone 20 minutes. Just start. Take the first step. Connect with your breath. Connect with the spirit of life. All of this helps us to close the gap and live out the simple disciplines of being honest and loving and just with all humanity. Blessings be. Amen.